the Station of the Stars. RTI.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad at the very, very end of August, where it's still sunny and beautiful and wonderful out here in Slovakia. My name's Eric Wiltshire, based at the glorious Tatry Mountains in the town of Poprad, hence Postcard from Poprad. And over in the UK, we've got Mr. Drab, Lee Banks.
Mr. Drab? Or yeah. Did you say I'm in drag?
Drab.
Oh, drab. Why am I drab? That's a really good introduction. I'm really impressed by that.
Oh, because you're living in a drab country.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I understand. Yes, you're talking about the weather.
Yes.
Do you realise the weather over here...
Excuse me. We'll get there in a minute. Thank you. Right. I'm still doing my introductions, don't you know?
Sorry? I thought it was my job to interfere with the introductions now.
Probably. And we're back as a... threesome this week. Ooh. He says that reservedly.
Menage de trois.
It is Mark Gander in Paris.
Hello there. Yes, back in Paris after a great almost 5 weeks out of Paris. In fact, 5 weeks out of France. Thoroughly refreshing. Although France itself is a beautiful country, including 3 weeks in England. Very, very lucky with the weather. What a nice country England is. What gentle, clean, efficient, absolutely wonderful. It was so good to be there. But anyway, back in Paris, and of course the first thing that greeted us as we stepped out of the taxi was a nice big piece of dog's muck right in front of our flat. So I knew I was back. And there we are.
Guys, it's like having Johnny Vegas and his monkey on the air, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Something like that. We've got to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, and you wonderful people on Audio Boo and RTI and anywhere else that happens to be listening. And we've had an interesting... Well, I've had an interesting week because my little brother's been out here. Oh, dear.
He ain't that little.
They let him come in. Unfortunately, he went home with Wimbledon neck.
What, he nicked it?
No, Wimbledon neck.
All right.
What, he nicked it? If you're going to keep repeating it.
He was sitting in a chair and his head was going so much from left to right, watching the young ladies walk past.
Oh, Bifferneck, you mean?
Oh, that.
Yes, something like that, anyway.
So the probation officer didn't mind?
No.
All right.
Very good. It's nice to have you over here, David. Then I had to drive all the way to Katowice in Poland to get rid of him. I mean, take him back, which is a very long journey.
You've dumped him in the mountains, haven't you?
No, I took him to Katowice.
Little game here, David. Little game, David. You go in the mountains, see if you can find out where my house is.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Anyway, lots been going on. Nice to have all three of us back together. And the chilling truth is the UK's worst weather in 100 years.
And now, how terrible is that? Honestly, I can't believe it. There isn't a lot you can do about it. We can't go out and explode a nuclear bomb and make the world go right again. But we have got the worst weather we've had since 1912. And you know what bothers me more about that is that actually 1912 doesn't appear to be 100 years ago, does it? Because you were born around then, weren't you, Eric?
I don't know. When was 1912?
Just after 1913.
You just celebrated your birthday, so you must know.
So what's the problem?
Well, I'm just saying, honestly, I'll have to do a Lancashire lament about the weather.
Oh, God.
This is the view that I have from my 19th century cottage in the middle of nowhere. It is grey, it is dark, it is windy, it is cold, it is stinky, it's awful. And the problem is that every so often you get rain like never ever has been seen in Britain before. I know places across the world have got worse weather than that. I'm not snuffing. You can't stop my stream of
consciousness. Hang on a minute. What? Mark was just sitting there and saying how wonderful England was, and you're sitting up there going, it's a bunch of rubbish.
I must say, Mark, I agree with you. In a way, I agree with you. And that's really to welcome you back.
Well, gee, thanks, Lee.
Now, England, I went out for a walk yesterday in the rain, in the hail, surrounded by lightning, listening to the thunder, with hair swirling in the hurricanes. And as I walked, I looked at the cottage.
The hair.
Pardon?
The hair swirling in the hurricanes.
Yeah, the poor little rabbit, it just was spinning there on the ground. I was like, "You all right, little rabbit?" Like that. And I saw I was walking and I saw all these beautiful, Britain is the prettiest country in the world. Really? I would stake a claim to Britain being the charmingest, loveliest
country.
Except it stinks and it rips you off.
Right.
Well, I don't think it stinks, and I don't think it rips you up, and I think it is a very pretty country. I mean, there are other countries that are very, very pretty as well.
Like Slovakia.
Like Slovakia, no doubt. I haven't been there. Switzerland, I have to say. Some parts of France are extremely pretty.
Slovakia is a functional-looking country. It has strength and character and power. But Britain has a sort of chintzy... is a sort of chintzy curtain on the world, isn't it?
I'll tell you, one of the prettiest countries I've ever been to is Swaziland.
Is it?
Yes.
Unbelievably pretty, wonderful, wonderful, green, smashing country. Absolutely wonderful.
Mm. Okay.
Malawi was very
nice. Anyway, have we done the weather now?
I got arrested in Malawi for being a hippie. Yes, I did. I was put into a police prison and I was hitchhiking with a guy that I'd met on the way. And I had to cut my hair, and I had to stitch up my bell-bottom trousers on the inside before they let me out.
Were you incontinent?
I'm talking about the leg.
Oh, my God. Let's move on, boys and girls. No wonder they had so many adverts, says Lee. 11.2 million people in the UK watched the opening ceremony of the Paralympic Games, making it Channel 4's most viewed programme in the past decade. That's brilliant.
I think it's incredible. And what I love about it, actually, and you know, sometimes you do have to bang the gong for Britain. Mm. And for once, Britain's got it right over the Olympics. The Paralympics in the past have never really been that exciting, and people haven't really gone on about it. Mm. But this year, Britain's gone all out for it and is making the Paralympics as popular as any of the other Olympics have ever been, and it's an incredible feat. The only thing that, you know, did you watch the opening ceremony?
Yes.
Well, that was a really good ceremony. If anything, the ceremony might have been better than the original Olympics. The only thing that did get me was I reckon that Stephen Hawkins was miming, you know.
I'm sure he'd enjoy that, knowing his sense of humour. But the interesting thing was I think it was on Tuesday, I think, there was 2.5 million tickets available for the Paralympics. And by last Tuesday, they'd sold 2.3 million of them, which is amazing. Yeah. All the volunteers had turned up before. And I love the fact that the Paralympics have beaten Big Brother into second place. I do like that.
That's definitely a result.
That is an absolute result.
Holy piece of bloody television.
He said the B word again.
He's only been on for 3 minutes. I behaved myself. I've just insulted Stephen Hawkins. That's all I've done.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm about to insult some Americans, but here we go. To Mr. Romney.
Mr. Romney?
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Romney, who said that England wasn't ready to host the Olympics, and a little while ago, Boris Johnson chastised him for it. Yeah, he did. Boris stood up and said he was wrong, or words to that effect. And I have to say, Mr. Romney, you're wrong.
Of course you're wrong. Look at the results. Look at the figures. Yeah, you know what's the problem?
Going look at on Romney. Wrong Romney.
Yeah. That'll have upset everybody on Talk Radio X. Sorry, guys.
This is going to text. I imagine there's probably... I'll probably keep my mouth shut, actually.
No, what I was going to say is, if you look, Channel 4 paid £9 million for the rights to broadcast the Paralympics, yeah?
Mm, yeah.
And the BBC, that should have done it, because they are the British Broadcasting Corporation, only offered £5 million. How did they think they were going to get it?
Lee, have you not sussed this yet?
What?
Have you not noticed how many times Channel 4 does the Paralympics?
No.
Lots.
Why?
And have the BBC done it in present years?
I asked you a question, you ignored.
No.
You did?
No, no. BBC haven't done it. It looks to me like they always underbid for it, and Channel 4...
Because they don't want it.
Unfortunately, you know, it may well be that they reckon, well, Paralympics, nobody's particularly interested in. Maybe they're going to change their tune for next year.
Oh,
it just hasn't had the credibility in the past.
No, but I think they let Channel 4 have it. I'm convinced. They let Channel 4 have it.
Here's a point. Here's a point. Right. Channel 4, right, paid $9 million because they would recoup that $9 million from advertising. BBC couldn't do that.
True.
So maybe they just didn't want it.
Or maybe they just let Channel 4 have it.
That's what I'm saying. That's very kind of them. Made Channel 4 rich and BBC look stupid.
Yeah. No, not necessarily.
Yes, I think they are.
It's called letting another broadcaster have a go at it rather than them having it all.
Well, that's pathetic.
You mean doing the decent thing?
Yes.
Well, look, that being decent's pathetic.
Why?
Why would you be decent? Get the money in your own bin. Tell Channel 4
to go and... BBC can't do it.
Pardon?
BBC can't get any money out of it.
No, that's what I've just said. I've just said the BBC only offered $5 million because they didn't want it, because they couldn't make any money out of it.
Well, they can't anyway, period.
That's what I mean.
Well, hang on a minute. Because if they save $5,000 on there...
Million.
Then,
$5 million.
$5 million,
Mr. Romney.
Or rather, if they'd bid the $5 million for that and succeeded,
have you been with Jody Marsh?
Then that would have been $5 million or less that they didn't have to pay for something else.
True. Yeah. So that in Channel
4. And also, they'd have got the money back by selling the programmes to other people. So that was a load of.
But they can't leave. The Olympic rights are owned by the Olympic Association, not by the broadcaster.
And they're not allowed to sell it on?
No.
Oh.
Are you sure?
It's actually owned by the International Olympic Committee, and yes, that is an absolute fact, because I tried to put a little clip from the Slovak team that was on
the telly.
I
remember.
Yeah. And it wasn't the BBC that said, no, you can't do it. It was the Olympic International body that said, you've been a naughty bunny, that can't be there, and YouTube took the little 30-second clip off.
And that's right. So you only get the deal is you get a single screening and that's it
Per country. Yeah, all the different broadcasters get it.
We had a bit of a tiff about it because I said it was impossible, didn't I? But actually, I was proved wrong for once in my life.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's incredible. That is so. If you had an interview with, if you're the BBC or Channel 4 or anybody, had an interview with an Olympic star.
You could have an interview with an Olympic star.
And that's yours.
Yeah. But actually, the games themselves, the rights to that stays with the Olympic people.
Mm.
That's how it works.
That is so cheeky.
I know.
That's almost,
and to be honest, when you're putting it onto a non-commercial website, just for the benefit of those that couldn't have seen it at the time, and it was just purely the point at which the Slovak team walked onto the stadium or into the stadium until they cut to the next country. I just think that's a bit out of order. But there you go. You know, that's the commercial world that they make money from, these guys at the International Olympic Committee. Moving on. Harry's privates was a subject we raised last week.
Harry's privates on parade again.
Yes. Unfortunately, we left it open to the audience, didn't we, Lee? Whilst you were away, Mark, we couldn't agree on whether it was good or bad. So we said, well, we'll let the audience comment rather than us.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, because Lee and I were having the spat, you can see them in front of you, Mark. Would you care to read the listener comments as the third party?
Right. Comments. I don't
want.
I'm just trying to see where they are. Comments from listeners.
Yes.
Eric Wilson.
No, that's not me. That's to me. Nathan.
I was going to say, this is from Nathan Wilson, addressing this to Eric Wilshire at 11:31. Prince Harry is the man. If he can go fight in Afghanistan, he can get naked in a casino hotel room. People need to give the man a break. So what if he is royalty? He didn't exactly have a choice in the matter. He's a top bloke. All you tosser politician and officials giving him,
flack.
Yes, flack for enjoying his free time. Go and do something useful, nation out of debt and fix the bloody... Oh, there you are. You see bloody, my favourite word, potholes in the road. Now I ask why I was going.
Yeah.
Next one was from Terry Boydell, who says, Have you noticed how the only Brit paper to publish the photos is a Murdoch paper? It just proves the bloke is a complete moron, particularly after all this scandal with his other now non-existent paper. And finally here from a lady, Barbara Beaver. Barbara Beaver Well said... Oh, no. Barbara Beaver said, well said, well said.
There you go. In other words, well, actually, well said, well said. There's an interesting...
What is she actually referring to?
I don't know, but there's an Beaver. Interesting thing because Mr. Murdoch attacked the Sun for doing it.
Yes.
He did. He did. And I think this is amazing. I think this is just incredible. I think it is the best thing that's happened to national newspapers in the British Isles in 50 years.
What,
we've actually gone back.
Picture, eh? Or they didn't publish the picture.
No, I'm 100%, if you listen to the show, Mark, you'd know, 100% behind the fact that they published the picture. We should have published the picture. Every newspaper in the country should have published the picture.
I'm very pleased that they didn't.
Yeah,
me
too.
I think that the British press has brought this on themselves. I agree it's a very, very bad situation.
It isn't a bad situation.
And I hope that the British press learns a lesson, and as I've said before,
no lesson
I hope
to
that
be learned.
I think there's a huge lesson to be learned. Yes, and I think these papers now are working out how to reposition themselves.
Absolutely.
But seeing Prince Harry in his own sort of, you know, private life, got nothing to do with the British government at that point, nothing to do with the monarchy at that point, who decides simply as a lark to get involved in this, and somebody that he thought he trusted shows these pictures. I think it's his own personal affair. There's no public interest in this at all.
Can I just interrupt at that point?
Sorry.
I understand exactly what Mark's saying. These are the arguments that have been put forward. Ever since it happened, and before it actually happened. Mm. And the simple fact is, the one that everybody goes back to is there is no public interest. Well, I think that's disproved by the amount of public interest in the subject. And I do not think that the newspaper has any right to edit out something that is so glamorously, excitingly interesting to the public. And
public interest means that there's a public good, not simply that it's interesting to the public.
Gentlemen,
come back on that.
I'm going to play chair for a minute because.
Come on, then. You play chairs.
The question is, what is the public's interest in this particular story? Is it, one, Prince Harry's bits, or is it, two, the fact that the Sun posted or published those pictures and the public are upset with them?
I think that has become the real story, actually, and that is great because it means the public really is starting to think about freedom of the press and what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. And the public interest, really, in other words, you know, the public good is the public needs to reflect and is reflecting on this whole business of privacy and what the limits are on intrusion into people's private lives. I think it's great.
Well, can you come back on that, Lee?
Dead simply, honestly, and I understand your point of view, Mark. I think it's reactionary and very conservative, and almost moving from conservative to absolute fascism and state control of what's happening. The simple fact is that the newspapers didn't publish the photographs.
Yes.
At all. They fell in line with what they were asked to do, which is not publish those photographs. Mm. But the photographs were going around the world and being seen everywhere.
Yes.
And then one newspaper, to fly in the face of the Leveson Committee, which is the most toothless and ridiculous thing that's ever tried to be imposed on newspapers, they flew in the face of it saying, you aren't going to control us. And that was a bite for the freedom of the press. And the reason that this story is so good and so interesting to the public is because it actually is fairly inoffensive. The fact that the Prince of Britain got his knob out in front of a crowd of people, anybody else potentially could have been arrested for being a pervert. But he did it and got away with it. He photographed him in that position and sold those photographs around the world.
Now, if the
Prince of Britain and England and one of the most powerful families in the world is ludicrous enough to actually put himself in that position, then his credibility as somebody who will have at least a partial control over this country is then put in question. Is this the right man to do it.
Well, I think we've got the answer.
The Warriors were in trouble for it. Saddam Hussein's family were in trouble for it. Rubbish. So why shouldn't the great British family, royal family, be questioned exactly the same way?
I think we've got...
Lee, I mean, it's quite clear that you're partisan. You're quite clear.
Very
partisan,
yes.
In fact, when I first read all this news going on in Lanzarote, and I thought, blow me, well, I won't be able to do this show. But I did realise that it was going to come up, and I think that I knew exactly what Lee's approach was going to be in these arguments, and I think I was right.
Yeah, and I think the other answer comes from the forces themselves, because at one point there was one senior military figure who was sort of allegedly going to chastise Harry, but as he was going to get told off for it, hundreds of soldiers have stripped off in support for the prince. Is a Facebook page called Support Prince Harry with a Naked Salute. The group, which already has 8,000 members, featuring military men and women posing naked in their barracks or standing nude on tanks in Afghanistan, kind of says what the level of support for Harry is, and I haven't seen one of them on Facebook anywhere yet that says the son did the right thing or any kind of
group. Can I just say that part of the argument against this is that it wasn't of interest to the public? Well, there you are. There you are. One section of the public, 8,000 of them, which is what? 10% of the whole of that army population.
Yeah.
Actually got on board and enjoyed the fun and the look.
No, they're just supporting Prince Harry. They're supporting Prince Harry. They're not supporting the news part. Yeah.
Of course they are. But nobody... You know what? You know what? And this is how silly this argument is.
Mm.
At no point has any member of the press actually purloined Harry for what he did. No. What the worst that's been said about him is, what a silly billy, Harry, to get your downstairs apparatus out in public when you are one of the most important men in Britain.
Mm, well, I still think it comes back to my original idea. I think people like Prince, it never happened, like Prince Harry and other celebrities should be allowed to produce at least one magazine a year, running around like the paparazzi and taking pictures of journalists drunk and sticking them in a magazine.
But the thing is, you know, what you're missing the point there is that journalists already do that. Journalists already do that on each other. It's a bit of a game. And also, most journalists who've had any standing or clout at all actually turn out their own biographies and explain what the press was like. You can read some of my stuff about the horrendous things that the press have done to themselves and the stupidity of the way that we act and everything. But it's good fun.
Oh, well, let's move on. Let's move on. More than 2,000 students potentially face removal after a university has had its license to teach and recruit students from outside the EU revoked. And let me just qualify this for a minute. There are rules in the UK about students from non-EU countries coming in. There's a whole process they have to go through, which gives them a kind of like a visa, a bit like a green card in America. Which enables them to then come and study in the UK with these particular students.
As with most other countries, by the way.
Correct. And what a task force has found out is that somewhere around a couple of thousand of these students have not got the right paperwork in place. And at this stage we're doing the programme, the chances are that they will be... sent back to wherever they're from. I watched a couple of them on the news last night going, this is terrible. I've done 2 years training here. I'm going to be a lawyer. Well, I would have thought a lawyer would be the kind of person who would get the paperwork in place first, or they're not going to be a very good lawyer.
I think that some of the paperwork is actually being revoked, actually. Mm. But, I mean, there are two issues here, I think. And, I mean, the first issue is, you know, whether these immigration controls should be imposed like this, and that, in fact, that these people, these students, should be made to suffer for the problems caused by the London Metropolitan University, or whether they should be assisted to find places elsewhere. And I think it's very unfortunate that legitimate students are being made to suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think it's their fault, and I think they should be assisted. Should this kind of sort of strict monitoring of universities take place? Yes, I think absolutely. If you're going to have an immigration policy, and I can tell you that the only thing that's news newsworthy about this is it's the London Metropolitan and it's large, because there have been tin pot English language organisations all over the place setting up in all sorts of places, including Cambridge and Oxford, which actually rely on the fact that they're in Cambridge and Oxford to sort of kind of give them a bit of prestige, that have been running these kind of sort of scam courses for many years. We're talking about 20, 30 years with a huge number of students who
Correct.
Come along, sign up, get a visa and attend once or twice and they're scarcely ever seen again. So I think this is very good. What should people do about it? Well, I think that the London Metropolitan is bang to rights. And if there are any would-be lawyers here, then I suggest they get a bit of practice in and sue London Metropolitan, because that's what they need. And I'll bet you nobody will do that.
No.
Okay? But London Metropolitan have got very clearly a contract to provide these services. And if they're not able to provide the services, I think they should offer full compensation to anybody who's been affected. And I'm afraid that...
I think it reaches deeper than that, though. It is almost like Britain's racism is getting worse and worse at the moment, and this is almost a racist action on behalf, because they've picked on people who actually are there that they can get hold of. And 2,000 students potentially have done nothing wrong and have gone by the book.
Yes.
But could be kicked out of the country.
Yeah, but Lee, there are rules in every country. I mean, perfect examples. Right. There was that idiot from Radio 1 a couple of years ago who was chastising the Dubai system because he got caught smoking cannabis on the beach. And he said, oh, this is stupid. If it was in London... Exactly. London, it would be different. And this particular case, if you were in another country, I'm sure it would be different. And even if you come to Slovakia, even if you're part of the EU and you want to reside here, after 90 days, you have to go and register and get a proper ID card.
I agree.
And so I don't see where... I agree the students will suffer some hardship, but surely if you're going to go and live in a foreign country, irrelevant of what you're doing, it's your responsibility to either find out what the rules are yourself or get your agent to find out what the rules are so you don't break them.
I agree, but the point I'm making is a little bit different than that. What I'm saying is that this is like a showcase. This is
yes,
what
of course.
People used to do. Yeah. Now there are millions of foreigners in Britain today without work permits who should not be here. But 2,000 students encaptured in a building in London is an easy target. And basically, what the British government has done is stood them up against the wall and shot them to warn the other people that they're coming after them.
And I think
it's terrible.
To show the
go after the people who are actually doing it.
Yeah. Mark?
I think Lee's right, and I think all the government here is really making a gesture and to say, look, the Conservative government is serious about immigration, and this is how
exactly.
to demonstrate it, okay? And they're an easy target.
People's lives.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Rap, boys and girls. Faster than you can make that milkshake, have a cup of coffee, or in my case, a cup of tea. This is Postcard from Pop Rap.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI